vaccines are always going to be a valuable tool for, if not the first break, maybe being prepared for the next one. Or if it's not maybe a true prevention, at least building immunity kind of as a prep for in the event that you do see a PRRS. I tend to explain to my producers that PRRS vaccine is kind of like an insurance policy in that you don't ever want an event where you need to use your insurance. But if something happens, you're going to be glad you had it.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Keep your feed safe from pathogens with VVC Premix. VVC Premix from DSM Firmenich is made up of ultra-pure benzoic acid and nature-identical flavorings to guard your feed and improve performance. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet. Sid Lines, an Ecolab company, offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene in the swine industry. Your response is critical. Take the National Swine Health Strategy Survey at porkcheckoff.org/swinehealth.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast show. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and I'd like to introduce my guest today, Dr. Daniel Gasho. Daniel is a production medicine consultant and veterinary practice owner at Swine Healthcare based in Mexico, Indiana, and a partner in the 4-Star Veterinary Service. Also with me is Dr. Steve Tusina. Steve is the director of the Swine Business Unit with Vaccinova. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So today we're going to discuss the PRRS virus, how it continues to be a threat to swine health. We're going to cover some ways to manage PRRS in your herd, along with how co-infections might be you might be dealing with. And then we're going to discuss some management methods for PRRS prevention and control. But before we begin, doctors, can you introduce yourselves to our listeners? Just give us a brief description of your background. And Daniel, let's start with you.
Sure. Home is kind of, besides my truck, north central Indiana. You tell people you work in Mexico, they get a little confused. Mexico is the name of a town in Indiana. Cover kind of the eastern Midwest, Corn Belt, I would say, Missouri to Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, that area. Our clinic is called Swine Healthcare, but part of 4-Star, then we have a network that, you know, covers a greater area of the country.
Perfect. Steve?
So Steve Tusina. I'm a veterinary graduate of the University of Minnesota and also did a PhD there. And then afterwards, I was in practice for a few years and then moved into technical services. And I've been with Vaccinova as the director of the business unit for the last 3 years now.
Why risk it? Your herd may have antigenic gaps that are not being covered by the products currently available. Custom-made vaccines provide a unique advantage in that they can be formulated to a herd-specific bacterial and viral needs. Choose the exact isolates, adjuvant, packaging, and size you need with Vaccinova for a vaccine formulated to your needs. Find out more by visiting us at vaccinova.us.com. That's vaccinova.us.com.
Great. Well, thank you guys for being on the show. So we're going to talk about PRRS and a lot of different, PRRS could be an entire podcast show in itself, you know, many episodes, but today we're just going to cover some of the basics of PRRS and your experiences with that, and then maybe dive into a little bit of strategies for control. So Daniel, start us off with a short description of PRRS infections, maybe both mild and severe in the sow herd.
I think the thing to keep in mind is that it's a syndrome, and by definition, that encompasses a lot of different things. So it could range anywhere from a surprisingly incidental finding on processing fluids, where did this positive come from, and almost zero to no clinical signs, especially with some of the European PRRS, ranging to kind of your classic, what everybody imagines, maybe an abortion storm or some of the respiratory signs downstream, but all the way to the other end of the spectrum with some of the recent more pathogenic strains we've seen that have just simply mortality as a primary symptom, even in sows and downstream.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steve, how have you witnessed PRRS change over the years?
Yeah, you know, it's one of these things that the industry continues to struggle with. And, you know, it seems that some years the clinical presentation that we see in the field can be really dramatic. And then other years, maybe it isn't quite as much. We know from a project that comes out of the University of Minnesota, there's still plenty of PRRS around in the industry, that the epidemic certainly is the strongest in the fall, with maybe a kind of a resurgence a little bit in the spring as well. But yeah, we definitely know that it's out there and still causing trouble. And, you know, despite all of the best efforts, it's still a disease that's costing the industry a lot of money out there still.
Yeah, absolutely. It continues to be the number one health threat, right, for swine in the U.S. year after year. So so let's dig into some ways that we can manage PRRS. Maybe let's start with strategies in the sow herd, and then maybe we'll go into the grow finish. So Daniel, maybe walk us through strategies for prevention and control in a sow herd.
I think the starting point always depends on what our end goal is. I mean, what are we producing? Are we producing a, you know, full value market hog and, you know, we're farrow to finish, and or are we selling a wean pig? And different business strategies maybe have a slightly different target for how they measure success, if you want to use that word. And I think that's why over time the industry has moved a little bit towards how long it takes you to get to baseline production versus just time to negative, because those aren't always necessarily the same targets for everybody. So just as an example, for most of my clients, the goal would be to produce or wean at minimum a PRRS negative pig. I mean, that's a simplified goal, but that would obviously be a great thing to do. And so if we are a naive or a negative herd that experiences a clinical outbreak, an acute PRRS event, then if our goal is to get to producing a negative pig as soon as possible, and there's so many variables that we can dig into as far as size of the farm and how they farrow, but I think it could be generally simplified that you need not just the animals that are on that farm, but all future animals that will come into that farm, such as replacement gilts, to have some level of immunity so that they are not perpetuating this acute outbreak in subsequent animals. If we can get every animal to build immunity and clear the virus, well, then we'll produce negative pigs. Of course, that's easier said than done, but a broad strategy is to build immunity in the animals that are exposed to the virus so that if we're talking a sow farm, they will then produce negative animals. I made that way too simple. If it was that easy, then PRRS wouldn't be a problem, but that is the general target.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. Steve, maybe cover a little bit about the immunity of PRRS for us when we talk about having the gilts as well as the sows have some immunity. Let's dig into that a little bit. And you're right. You know, this is a very a topic that could have its own episode again. So we'll do the best we can. And, you know, and I think our audience is going to be familiar with PRRS, right? We've all dealt with it in the U.S. certainly for years, but cover immunity a little bit for us.
Absolutely. And Daniel did a nice job kind of setting the stage for it. Really, at the end of the day, anytime we're trying to manage a disease, the important part is trying to get everybody exposed and get them to have some of that experience with a PRRS virus. And there are several different ways that we can manage that and help that along in a herd through, you know, vaccination strategies, perhaps using a killed vaccine or a modified live vaccine, all the way through just making sure that everybody is getting good exposure, whether it's just animal to animal or intentional exposure to these viruses. The name of the game there is really just trying to get everybody on that same page with where they're experiencing the virus helps to push it out. And Daniel touched also on the importance of those replacement gilts. You know, make sure you've got that right strategy in place with them as well. And then hopefully long-term that different vaccines, different strategies then can transfer some of that immunity to piglets at birth with the colostrum intake and these kinds of things. So yeah, it's really about just trying to get everybody on the same page as quickly as possible. There's a variety of different methods. Not all of them are going to be the silver bullet. Not, you know, it's not a one size fits all. It's something definitely that requires some discussion with your herd veterinarian and making sure that all the other factors are in place before we just dive into, you know, one program or the other to get that immune status kind of equal across the herd.
I think that it's important to understand that there are a lot of different strategies. And so today we're, you know, kind of just touching on the basics a little bit. So Daniel, take us through what happens to that wean pig if it's not negative. What are the strategies that you might be doing to get that negative pig at weaning?
With any PRRS break, you know, there's this general pattern that it always follows. You know, if we, again, assuming minimal immunity up front, naive animal, and we get this acute PRRS outbreak, and we have, you know, viremic sows potentially farrowing, you know, viremic pigs all the way from birth. And so those wean pigs, they are behind the eight ball from the beginning. You know, they are born with PRRS. I mean, in some extreme cases, you probably have high mortality even in the farrowing house. Like, we don't even get to the weaning phase, much less worry about their status at weaning. And so those, that's hopefully a short period of time, but, you know, they're going to have severe immunosuppression. You'll struggle with response to vaccines, whether it's your circomyco shot at weaning or whatever it might be. But once you're past that, then you soon get to the point where most of your piglets are actually born negative, but they then immediately pick up the virus from mom or other pigs in the farrowing house or somewhere on the farm, if mom is not actually viremic. And so at that point, then it switches to, they maybe are born negative, but they get positive before weaning. And so whether it's a vaccine strategy or it's how we handle them at weaning, those pigs are at minimum going to be a higher risk, just being in a state where they carry the virus at weaning. And then you progress a little farther to where most of the pigs are negative at weaning, but maybe there's still a few that are positive. And so then it switches to strategy of biosecurity, and we can dive into McRebel and all that of how you, you know, try to minimize the spread. But each progressive step would be to where most or all are negative at weaning, so that then at minimum we have a chance to vaccinate them or do something with them post-weaning where we can somewhat control their health status versus they're positive before we even get them. Then there's only so much you can do at that point just by how the virus works and, you know, its impact on the immune system and all those other secondary things that come with, if you're positive at weaning, it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, absolutely. And so essentially it's, you know, working towards a negative pig, you'll have at first a population that has a high level of PRRS virus, almost all the pigs infected at weaning, to almost no pigs infected at weaning and just a few, right, that may still be carrying the virus that are then put the rest at risk. And so your vaccination strategies may change depending on what stage of that progression that your herd is in. And really your veterinarian, production managers, sow farm team are all working towards understanding that status by testing typically, and then progressing that herd into the next phase. And you may change vaccination strategy due to those phases. So there's a lot of tools or ways that you can use a vaccination program. And it certainly isn't one size fits all for it's really individualized per herd. So Steve, tell us a little bit about another challenge can be some cofactors, right, that come along with PRRS. Daniel mentioned immunosuppression and how that virus works with the immune system. So let's talk about challenges of those co-infections during a PRRS outbreak.
PRRS, as previously mentioned, it attacks the specific cells, in particular in the lungs, that are really meant to prevent these secondary or these co-infections, right? And generally, these are bacterial in nature, you know, whether it's mycoplasma or if it's a glacerella parasuis, strep, maybe other viruses such as influenza. Anytime you've got a pig that's exposed to PRRS virus and that virus has damaged that pig's immune system, they certainly are open, kind of leaves the door open then for these other guys to get in. Control of these can be difficult at times, right? Daniel mentioned, you know, especially in that acute stage of the outbreak, the symptoms can be just so overwhelming that there isn't really much that we can do. I mean, certainly we can reach for, you know, various antibiotics, again, with the assistance of your herd veterinarian, you know, trying to figure out what is going to have the best impact on the pigs. There are vaccines, autogenous vaccines or custom vaccines that we can use for a lot of these things. But, you know, sometimes, again, as Dr. Gasho mentioned, pigs are just so sick early on that it's hard to get much to them quick enough to fight some of these off. But absolutely, the co-infections that are there will make this situation worse. And I'm guessing a lot of people out there have had experience with these things too, that the more stuff that's going on with those pigs, the harder it is on them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Daniel, what else could impact the effectiveness of a PRRS management plan?
Vaccines are always going to be a valuable tool for, if not the PRRS break, maybe being prepared for the next one. Or if it's not maybe a true prevention, at least building immunity kind of as a prep for in the event that you do see a PRRS. I tend to explain to my producers that PRRS vaccine is kind of like an insurance policy in that you don't ever want an event where you need to use your insurance. But if something happens, you're going to be glad you had it. And so we don't use, there's PRRS vaccines in its use in cleaning up an event, but there's also PRRS vaccines in depending on your location and pig density and a realistic evaluation of your biosecurity. And do you truly believe that you will never be exposed to PRRS virus? And if that answer is, I might see PRRS, then that goes down the path of, is it a modified live, you know, where that's appropriate for your farm and it's, you know, trying to get some immunity built against maybe more of a broad range of specific isolates or specific, you know, cut patterns. But then if you know the strains that are in your area, like maybe in your flow is one specific strain that, you know, we always have a risk of seeing, or maybe we're past that and we already broke with PRRS and now we know the one that we need to clean up. And so when you get into the autogenous or the killed type of vaccines, the both good and bad of that type of vaccine is how specific it is. You know, it's targeted at a specific PRRS virus. If we're talking about PRRS, this could go for flu or anything else. So if you're going to use a killed, even if you have multiple strains in your vaccine, to use that as a preventative, or I shouldn't say preventative, that infers that if you use it, you won't get PRRS, to generate immunity ahead of time, then that needs to not be a shot in the dark. And whether that's your veterinarian or a company like Steve's, you know, what is in that vaccine? If it's just a blanket, you know, generate immunity, we don't have a specific problem, then generally we would look at what's regional, what's around us, what's in the flow, what's the neighbors have, that type of thing. But if we've had a break, of course, it's going to be that strain and maybe more that are in it. And so I just caution people to understand that, you know, a killed vaccine is specific. And so one size definitely does not fit all when it comes to killed vaccines, in that it needs to be the right tool for the job.
Yeah, I think that's a great description in terms of, you know, a prevention and control program, right? How to use a modified live vaccine for establishing, you know, immunity for a broad spectrum of PRRS viruses to get the immune system works in a different way than a killed virus vaccine. And then certainly coming back and utilizing killed vaccine, that's a more targeted approach. It's a little bit like a bullseye and you've got a shotgun versus a rifle, right? So you're making a targeted approach with your killed PRRS virus strains in a killed vaccine that may be regional, maybe something the herd has seen before is at high risk for seeing, or the most recent infection. Yeah, great, great description.
And as Steve mentioned, there's not one size, you know, there's not one strategy that fits all. And even if it's the same strategy, it's not one vaccine that fits all. And so it's very important to just review your options and don't take it from anybody that this is the way to approach PRRS, because, I mean, two farms side by side are going to have different things. So it's just important to, you know, look at specifically what you have and tailor your plan of attack, whatever that is, to your farm.
Yeah, great point. Steve, anything to add?
Yeah, you know, just to build on that a little bit. So Vaxinova, our focus is truly on the, we call them killed autogenous vaccines or custom vaccines. And so, you know, the first step in that process is always making sure that we have isolates that we can start to build the vaccines off of. And sometimes I think people, you know, one of the challenges that can sometimes surprise people is just the amount of time it can take for us to build these vaccines. We have to isolate the virus from, you know, a tissue sample, let's say a piece of lung that was collected from a piglet in the field. You know, there's a process to get that isolate from that lung tissue. And then there's a second step in the process to manufacture that vaccine. And, you know, I think sometimes in the heat of an outbreak, when things are going really bad and people want answers quickly, you know, it can be tough to have an autogenous vaccine put together quick enough, especially in that early stage. Now, Daniel has mentioned there sometimes some of these vet practices or production companies, they might have a vaccine that they've already got kind of ready, that based on their what they know what's going on around them, they've got some vaccine that they can go and get when they need it, you know, in that acute stage of the outbreak. But for those people that don't have that, the best advice is as soon as you start seeing the signs of a PRRS outbreak on the farm, the best thing we can do, even if we don't know that we're going to go towards a killed vaccine yet, start thinking about collecting some of those samples and get them to a diagnostic lab, or even get them forwarded directly to Vaxinova, so that we can at least get started on that first step of that first isolation, so that if and when we're ready to go towards a killed vaccine program, we've got that virus in hand and we, you know, we're kind of already over that first hurdle.
Yeah, I think that's a great point is, you know, to get the PRRS virus and the right one and the right one growing, you know, to make a manufacture a vaccine does take a little bit of time. So don't waste time and get some isolates going in. So let's talk about PRRS and movement. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the options. Maybe there's a regional outbreak and a lot of herds in the same geographic area have had a similar or the same PRRS virus. Let's talk about how that PRRS moves around and maybe understanding the at-risk farms in that geographical area and what they can do. You mentioned a little bit about it, that perhaps if they're working with a veterinary clinic and have the ability to have an isolate that they could use in a product. Talk to us about maybe how you're monitoring that, Daniel, in your herds in a specific geographical region.
You hate to sound pessimistic, but it depends on the area of the country you're in. A lot of the areas I work in are very, very pig dense. And so we think it's a wise approach for our clients to always have a plan as to what they would do if they were to break with PRRS. We're not suggesting that they can't keep it out, but depending on your region, depending on your trucking, depending on where the packing plant is, depending on a lot of factors, it can be sometimes difficult to prevent PRRS spread, you know, by variables that are not always in your control. You know, just having that in the back of your mind as to what if, I think is a wise thing to, you know, just have that plan in place. And as Steve mentioned, it varies a lot from client to client, but if you are, you can make up some examples where you're a farm that's relatively isolated, but in your production company, maybe it's an integrated system, you know that some of their other sow farms are dealing with PRRS. They may be on the other side of the country, but maybe it's shared gilt supplier or shared trucking or whatever. That might rank higher on your what if than the farm that is 5 miles away that has PRRS, because we have great biosecurity laterally here local, whether it's shower in or it's filtered farms or whatever it might be. And so I think it just goes back to your scenario and being realistic as to what your risks are, where they might come from, what those strains are. And there are always surprises that you can't figure out where that ever came from. But for the most part, we can have a pretty educated guess ahead of time and have tools in place based on our best knowledge and, playing the odds, the risk factors, what might be our biggest risk, and just have the tools in place, like Steve mentioned, to, head off that where we're caught totally off guard and now we need something, but it's going to take this many weeks. You won't always guess right, but you can have a plan in place most of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point, is kind of, having the foresight to understand your risks, right? And one farm's risk is going to be different than another farm's risk, depending on, like you said, the other touches, right? A truck trailer from another completely different state that comes every week, right? With gilts, right? That's a risk, may not be the same for the farm next door. So understanding that and having a plan, that's a really great advice. Sometimes easier said than done as well, because you have to take time to talk about it and to then enact that plan. So we're kind of finishing our time together with Drs. Daniel Gasho, Dr. Steve Tusina. We've been talking about the PRRS virus, how to manage it in your herd. If you have some questions or comments, please send those to us on your podcast platform. If you liked our show, please give us a thumbs up. And before we wrap up, though, I want to give our guests just the opportunity to kind of give us their final thoughts and take homes from today's discussion. Steve, what are your final take homes, and what do you want our guests to take home from our PRRS discussion?
You know, in the world of trying to manage and control PRRS on a farm, there's lots of tools in the toolkit out there. Work hard with your herd veterinarian or your production managers to figure out what it is. There's not going to be just one silver bullet that's going to take care of everything. Got to look at the entire picture. If and when killed vaccines become part of it, certainly feel free to reach out to us as well. At Vaccinova, we're more than happy to help kind of work it through with you and your in the vet and whoever it is else on your team, be happy to help think through all of those questions. So never feel timid about reaching out to all the resources when needed.
Absolutely. Dr. Gasho?
Yeah, I'm just going to have to echo basically what Steve said, in that I think it's important to have made those connections, know what your tools are, know who your connections are, like the people that would help you in the event that something would happen. Hopefully you never need them or that tool, but you certainly don't need to wait until there is a problem to, start investigating what your options would be or what you would do. And whether it's a company like Vaccinova or it's your herd veterinarian, they have connections. Obviously there's confidentiality agreements and things like that, laws related to that. But all these companies have a very good feel for what's out there. I mean, that would go for your diagnostic lab or anybody that's involved in the industry, is having a connection with those people. They can help you know what's your risk factors, what's around you, what's in the area, what you might want to look out for. And so, yeah, just same as what Steve said, is don't wait until there is that emergency to start checking what you would do.
Yeah, absolutely. So have a plan and do some networking in regards to your PRRS risk.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs. Custom-made vaccines. SUNY,
we provide value-added biotech solutions. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. AB Vista, an innovative animal nutrition company offering intelligent solutions for the swine industry. The combination of innovative products, technical expertise, and cutting-edge services provide the ideal tools to drive pig production. To learn more about AB Vista tools, check abvista.com.
Well, perfect. So before we wrap up, though, the hallmark of our SwineIt podcast show is we ask our guests three specific questions at the end just to get to know them a little bit better. And so we're going to kind of split these up a little bit. And first, I'll ask Daniel. Daniel, what's your favorite book or resource in your area of expertise?
I'm going to go with two different answers. I know we're splitting it up to save time here, but book is not really a resource to me in the fact that one of my favorite books is just the old original James Herriot series. That's my kind of like relax, detach. I don't know how many times I've read those. So that's a book. I'm not taking advice from a veterinarian, 100 years ago, but resource, I rely pretty heavily on the AASV, American Association of Swine Veterinarians, whether that's the members and the veterinarians within it, or it's all the research papers that are, published that I can access, the presentations that have been banked over many years. So that's my resource, and that's my book.
Great. I have I have fondness for James Herriot's series as well. As a young child, I think that maybe take a poll of every production, animal veterinarian and see who, if that paved their way. But the connection with farmers, right, and in agriculture, you can never not be reminded of that and why we all decided to go into agriculture if you read James Herriot. So no, that's very good. And so, Steve, I'm going to throw this one at you. Steve, what's your favorite book or resource outside of veterinary medicine or epidemiology?
For me, I think one of the important things is just finding that passion or that hobby. And as veterinarians, we spend an awful lot of time driving around in our trucks from site to site or farm to farm. And so for me, it's always podcasts, but trying to find one that aligns with some of the hobbies that I like to do, whether it's just being outside and with a hunting dog, or whether it's staying up to date on current events, or I've got some friends that talk about the trashy divorce podcasts too, right? It's just a matter of finding that something out there that just allows your brain to unplug for a few minutes, right? We all live real busy lives, and it's nice just to find that thing that can allow us to unplug and reset. So for me, it's got to be a podcast that kind of lines up with some of my hobbies.
Yeah, great. So, and that's certainly a resource, right? It's a resource to stay, mentally fit and to have a little bit of a break and utilize your time and challenge yourself at some other topics besides purse. So, all right. So Daniel, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
It's hard to put into words. And I think an overused phrase is the it factor, whatever that is. It's like everybody throws that one around. Nobody knows what it is. But I think a valuable thing for professionals, especially if you're going to be consulting or working with clients, the actual boots on the ground, as we like to phrase it, is you can't expect them to fully trust or fully respect you if you don't understand them or their job or their lifestyle or what it actually takes to implement that recommendation that you just gave. And so I am very, very thankful that I got to work on a swine farm for many years before I went to vet school, and so it's like, if I'm telling them they have to give that extra shot, well, do I want to go through and give shots to a bunch of sows and pens? And so just that understanding of what it means. And so I don't know if compromise is the right word, but that blending of to get results, something has to be able to be implemented. And so, again, it's hard to put into words, but just understanding real life on the farm, I think, is critical for being able to do your job successfully and get the outcome that you want.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, kind of putting yourself in their shoes and saying, how does this decision or recommendation going to really impact them in terms of labor and what they have to go out and get done? Yeah, be realistic. Mm-hmm. Steve, how about you? An attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others?
For me, it's a little cliched, but I've had professors and instructors through the years, and it's resonated true, is just be that lifelong learner. You know, there's something new to learn every day, every week, right? Challenge yourself in areas that aren't your strong suit, you know. So maybe you want to become a ventilation expert or understand more about nutrition and why diets are formulated the way they are. There's a lot of those resources are out there, and there's people that can help you learn along the way. But I do feel that the people that pursue learning just relentlessly, you know, it keeps you sharp. It keeps you really motivated. It keeps you excited to go out there, opens your eyes a little bit different, gives you a different perspective. I think that's good advice that nobody can go wrong with. Just pursue lifelong learning.
Absolutely. And one reason I hope people listen to the SwineKnit podcast to continue to learn or maybe catch a different method or a different idea from one of our guests. So certainly appreciate you two being on the show, talking about, you know, our least favorite topic, PRRS. Hope to see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.